Let's start in the room. Jean-Luc Champetier, Investir, a newspaper. My question bears upon the development of AI, which could increase competition. Could you explain to us several things? First of all, describe, deep dive that is, into the different distribution networks that you have available, and then the costs associated. Are there any possibilities to cut down distribution costs, including in networks outside of the direct distribution, maybe the employee networks or the tied agents network? And perhaps, maybe, could you specify one figure? You gave a combined ratio of 90.6% in P&C. Could you give us, could you break it down, the cost ratio, etc., and the cost in terms of claims? And regarding the latter, could you specify the changes when it comes to the Nat Cats in terms of the rates there? Very well. You have a third question? That's one single question. It's chiefly on costs. So on the first question, I will quickly make an introduction, and the best thing will, after that, to go into concrete examples. And certainly Patrick Cohen is in this room, who is heading Europe, and Mathieu Godard, who is heading AXA France. And after some introductory remarks by me, I would like them to show you what AI is really about on a daily basis, and in particular, when it comes to our distribution networks. And then, Alban, could you give us the specifics about the combined ratio in terms of costs and claims and the NatCats? So, in general, for us, as I said, there's an opportunity that is significant. We really want to use that opportunity, and essentially, there are two fields of implementation. One part, which is in relation to our clients. In other words, how can we really improve the relationship and the interface with our clients? And here the distribution centers are key. And our idea here is to work, of course, on the automation front, on the customization of client interface in regard to service, but also help our general agents, our distribution networks, to use properly AI in order to improve a customer relationship. We have a second field of application, a second scope, which is about how we assess the insured risk and how we can prevent it. An insurer has available lots of data. And as Guillaume mentioned it, as well as Guillaume, we are working at length about the quality of data, because if you load up a car with not the right gas, it doesn't work well. So that's why having good data banks, and also have the ability with AI to use non-structured data. For example, if you insure this room here, the risk engineer comes around and tries to understand the danger of potential fire. He will make a PDF report that we can use once. But if we want to use it several times for other risks, you have to be able to make use of such piece of information. AI, for the first time, is helping us do that. In other words, assessing a risk on the one hand, and then the question of prevention, in other words, what can we do to avert the next claim, will be much more specific, precise, and these are the two areas on which we are working as it comes to the implementation of AI. Patrick first, maybe, and then Mathieu, can you give us even more concrete examples of your two geographic perimeters to illustrate this?
Merci pour votre.
Thank you very much for your question, sir. I will focus on where we see the highest potential to generate growth and best serve and support our clients. And we are very excited by application per use, which is being mainstreamed across all of our entities in Europe. Now, to be very concrete, with respect to growth and expansion today, AI makes it possible for us to have an underwriter prepare for their work so that they can refine their offers and provide more offers, more proposals in a shorter lead time, getting information from the claims, from the various brokers, from the agents, processing more files to generate more growth. Another interesting example is that the AI solution will give us the right offer with the right price at the right time to the right client. We are using agentic AI, which in a predictive manner are able to identify, detect needs, and basically automatically creates email and correspondence and communication, which are totally customized to fit the individual situations of the clients. Very interesting. The last example is how we'll be training and developing our agents, providing them with advisory tools in their client interactions, and we'll be ramping up their skill sets and expertise on our products. We'll be very quickly generating videos, tutorials, and training sessions for use by our agents. So much for growth. The second very promising area is obviously that of client servicing. Now, AI is now capable of solving a great number of pain points which you have in the field of insurance. Obviously, one of them is not to repetitively have to describe your events when you have anchored a claim and you report it, to also radically shorten the lead time for reporting in a seamless process where you do not have to repetitively send a piece of document. This is being done in Germany, in Italy, in Switzerland at scale with a very tangible example. Let me share it. Today in our claims management centers, the claims handlers now have what we call an assistant, which basically put them into cruising mode, i.e. when they interact with clients, the AI tool will suggest an answer, will get the right data at the right time, so that the claims managers focus on empathy, on better serve the client, on speak with them, listen to them, satisfy the clients better, and making them more effective, more productive. Thank you, Pratik. Mathieu? Thank you. Well, first, the examples that Patrick Cohen has just reviewed are examples of daily use. I will focus on one area which is important. It is that of technology. Well, we've obviously been using AI to refine and customize our pricing schemes. Patrick Cohen mentioned the development work we did to clean and refine our client data. We now are able to update our pricing mechanisms, making them more dynamic, enabling us to generate more profitable growth. Combating fraud is of great importance as well, because AI is not only being used by corporates, but pirates, hackers, and fraudsters use it. So AI makes it possible to detect those tricks and those fraudulent schemes. The last area where AI is of great importance is with respect to prevention, especially in car fleets, where we can sparse and review claims data to identify potential preventative measures, which we submit to businesses so that they can lower their claims ratio and lower their prices connected with their car fleet coverage. So much for these very tangible examples. The combined ratio is down 0.4%, i.e. 0.4% broken down into 0.3% of improved current loss ratio, 0.3% of improved the cost ratio, and 0.4% of improved Nat Cat factor, and since we considered that all this was an upside, we decided to be cautious, more cautious than usual, on our reserving, and we released less prior year developments in an amount of 0.7, so 0.3, 0.3, 0.7, minus 0.07. So thank you. Next question, please. We have someone right. Let's go from left to right. Hello, everyone. Thierry Koubi for the News Insurance Magazine. I have two questions. The first, to pick up on what my friend here asked about AI. You mentioned, quote, massive investment, unquote. Can you give us the order of magnitude for the AXA Group? And can you tell us what would be your AI budget in the next strategic plan? The second question links up with Africa. I would like to know if you are going to be revising your position in the African continent, given the new geopolitical dynamics in those countries, and also your interest in Africa, Ray. Can you speak about these items, please? Thank you, Terry. So I suggest that Guillaume answers the first question, and I will be answering about Africa. As to your first question, what you need to have in mind is that some 4% of our technology spending is for capital investments. The rest is for the running cost of our IT systems. Now, we are making efforts to increase this budget every year. We are determined to increase our investment budget because the investment needs into AI will obviously be increasing. We are not giving any more accurate detailed number, but in the next strategic plan on the 21st of September, when we disclose it, we'll give you more detail on that. What's important to note is that this growing investment is a real opportunity to start laying down the foundations and future vectors of growth going forward. So we are accelerating this spend, which increases our total expenditures, and we can do this now because our technical margins are of excellent quality, and also because we have other pools and reservoirs to improve our day-to-day expenditures. And among these levers and pools are included all the operating excellence drivers and measures with respect to offshoring, some assignments, greater disciplines in the purchasing and procurement, so that we've generated efficiencies. And Alban mentioned how it's impact the P&C combined ratio, and these efficiencies are higher than the additional capital expenditures we'll be investing. So with such investments, we know that we are paving the way for the future growth, and that there is a real synergy which will make it possible for them to achieve the efficiencies across the value chain.
Now on Africa today, we are in a few countries where we have been focusing in the last 10 years. In those countries, our positioning is significant. Let me mention those countries. First and foremost, it's Morocco, and then the CIMA countries, in other words, Senegal, Cameroon, Ivory Coast, and Gabon. In addition to that, we are in Egypt and in Nigeria. So our positioning is highly focused, which is growing significantly with a lot of success in the offing, and certainly a stake in Africa, rate of participation in it helps us go beyond through stakes in the reinsurance business in the countries where we are not. Africa, it's true, is still part of geopolitical tensions that could lead us to rethink about this. Look, I think the other way around. In other words, the greatest opportunity that missed, that Europe hasn't seen yet, is that its future perhaps is more in the south than on the east or in around the west. If you think about this in terms of migration flows, and also the demographic issue in Europe. If you think about the issue of the energy aspect in Europe and food safety and security, you will find yourself very quickly looking at Africa. And this is why I believe that Africa will be a significant, very significant continent for Europe. This is why we are preparing this wave of growth, which hopefully will come one day for Europe. Next question. Bloomberg. I have several questions. On AI first. You mentioned every kind of opportunity and the positive effects to come. I have a question, though, about the fears you might have on this, about the potential coming of new entrants in the market. To what extent do you think that the regulation, which is quite strong in the insurance business, can it help you with regard to these questions? Now, what about the language models, if we look at the OpenAI chat or others, tomorrow do you think that these models, these agents can offer insurance contracts? Could it be distribution channels? And to what extent then will AXA make sure that you're really present and well listed? And my second question is about the floods in France in the last few days. An estimate that was given last week by the Ministry of Economy, which assessed it at 1 billion, it could even go up to 3 billion, allegedly. Do you have any estimates about the share of AXA with regard to these floods in France? And now my last question is about the sale several years ago. That was the life insurance business and the pensions in runoff, and you started discussions with Athora at the time, which didn't materialize in 2024. You had mentioned at the time macroeconomic conditions that were not adverse at that time. Now that they have changed, are you still open to this portfolio? Thank you for your three questions. Just to specify in your third question, you do speak about the Alban. German or the Alban portfolio. First of all, I will yield to Mathieu, who will answer about floods in France and the potential estimates there in, and then I will take the first and third question. Mathieu, as regards news, it's two types of events we are facing. On the one hand, there is the storm, the damage created by the storm, and on the other hand, you have floods. It's important to differentiate these two, because in this kind of situation, traditionally, we are in a position to quickly assess the damage related to the storm, but when it comes to flood-related damages, the time to estimate the damage when people make statements, it's much longer. For very pragmatic reasons, because you have to wait for no longer any floods so that we can send experts to be able to assess the damage that that clients are facing. So at this stage, in terms of damage regarding the storm, we have an estimate around 80 million euro net, about 20,000 claims. With regard now to floods, we have a few thousands of claims that have been made, which probably will supplement that amount, but in proportions far less sizable, because most of the damage are more with the storm than with the floods, even though in terms of people feeling really distressed, it's more people who are, it's more the victims of floods that we are trying to support more, because a tile that fell from the roof doesn't, is not so bad as having water in your kitchen, in your home. And to supplement this relative to the figures that were announced by the market, what do you think about it? Does it make sense? The first billion that was announced is consistent. I didn't know about the 3 billion. I think we are in ranges that vary very much at this stage. And it's always very difficult, because there are two types of claims on the or damages. On the one hand, you have a physical damage of a home, a house, of a factory, which is fairly easy to assess. On the other hand, you have business loss if a company cannot work, and this is where it's difficult to judge. This is why it's important with the figures that come in too early. Now, the two other questions. Let me start with the one about the life insurance divestiture. In the last plan, remember, we had a goal which was to cut down a few life portfolios and the reserves that come along with this. That portfolio, well, the life insurance in Germany, and it's only part of it because that's a former Winterthur's portfolio that AXA had bought in 2006 at the time. It was really the last portfolio that we had to sell or not at the time. We were not really so interested in selling, but Ador approached us. We always look if someone talks to us. We always look if a deal can make sense or not. And in that case, together with the regulator, we decided such deal would not be realized. And that portfolio, when you look at it, is very well capitalized with Solvency II, which is standalone, which is very high. And today, there's no reason really to think again about a sale. This is why you notice the earnings we have today are earnings that are not based on exceptional items because we have a sale here or restructuring of our portfolio there. It's really about growth and organic performance and growth without any special effects or exceptions. And now we really want to focus on our organic development without finding ourselves out of focus and focusing on topics that are not contributing to the core of the business. So we're focusing on the organic aspects. I'm not asking myself this question. This is why I have, because I haven't been approached. Now, on AI, first question. The fear about new entrants. Of course, AI will create newcomers. As you saw this taking place in the digital revolution that we saw several years back, we saw newcomers come along. Some of them survived, but most of them either did not survive or chose an interesting fate, which is instead of competing with insurance, they create a partnership with insurers so that they can work with them together. And I think the same thing in most cases should occur again. As we said before, the insurance model is a scale-based model, but we need to modernize it. We need to simplify it, automate it, and customize it, the customer interface. And innovative companies based on AI and on the LLM models will be helpful. And this is why, in order to do better this time compared to the digital revolution, we must, from the very outset, try to find partnerships to benefit together from the positive effect of AI on our processes, on the customer interaction. And along those lines, then, of course, we are working with all the model providers, in particular with Mistral.
Question?
Next question. Yes. Louis Guarino for La Tribune de l'Assurance magazine. Thank you for your presentation, gentlemen. My first question is on the funding of the economy, and the second question is on health. With respect to funding the defense industries, can you tell us a bit more about whether you contribute to the BPI defense fund? have you been ramping up to invest into these funds jointly to the BPCE group? And with respect to the health business, Mr. Godin, you spoke about the partial reimbursement of genomic tests to avoid a traumatic chemotherapy. To the best of my knowledge, you are among the rare insurance companies to offer this, and the former French Minister for Health, Yannick Leder, had said that if these tests were being covered by insurance companies, then the budget of the social security system could be cut. And can you expand on the relationship between insurance companies like yours and the mutual companies and the national health system? Now, Alban, about the defense industry question now. We always have considered that defense related issues were not necessarily strictly speaking in the scope of sustainability. We've always invested into defense mechanisms in full compliance with the international regulations, and so we keep doing so. Now, generally speaking, when you look at the funds we are investing into, we'd rather have diversified funds we invest into and not especially exposed to any specific given industry. Obviously, we are looking into this initiative with some degree of interest, but we want to be sure that it will not overexpose us to any given industry. And maybe say a few words about the defense industry as well. In this field, we have to be always very careful. Investing into an industry is a necessary factor, but it is not enough to totally shore up the defense and the military capacities of a country. So all stakeholders need to be fully aligned in the defense ecosystems, and this is not necessarily the case today, so more work has to be done in this respect. Mathieu Godard, with respect to your question on health, thank you for referring back to this initiative. I believe we are the only insurance companies to partially reimburse this genomic test, and this is why I wanted to highlight it in my presentation. Well, in fact, we are convinced at AXA that with respect to health issues, and you can see this in the current debate about the well-balanced control of health-related cost is of great importance, and we need to move from a therapy focus model to a prevention focus model. And we have a fund for scientific research to promote more preventative and prevention related activities. Now, in this field, I believe that development work should be done jointly with insurance companies, with the national health and security systems, and with the public authorities, so that long-term solutions can be found, so that we may collectively contain this inflation in health and medical costs we are currently confronted with. So basically, with this initiative, AXA is showing its desire to move from a therapy focus to a prevention focus, and there is much more to be done in France. I also want to pick up on an important point in your question, madam, because sometimes hear that the national security system competes with the private insurance companies and the mutual companies. Now, the question is not who does what, but the question really should be how could we collectively better do things together, because all the efforts made by the private companies combined with all the efforts made by the national systems should compound to improve the situations. Now, time is running. Let's take a last question online, and then for all other questions by people in this auditorium, we may again exchange around a drink or coffee. Last question.
From Maximilian Vols of Plateau. First question is, could you please say a few words about the result in Germany? Second question, the major European primary insurers have been growing for years. Are we heading towards an oligopoly market? And is that what AXA wants? Third question, the major reinsurers are increasingly talking about more targeted risk underwriting, especially in property and casualty reinsurance. Does this affect your business as AXA and or the primary insurance market in general?
Thank you very much for the three questions. Patrick, if you could talk about the result in Germany, and Nancy, if you could talk about the reinsurers and the risk appetite, and I think the second question is relatively easy to answer. When you look at the insurance market, in particular in Europe, it is today very fragmented still, so talking about an oligopoly is very far away from the reality. Patrick will talk about the German market in a minute. I have left the German market 10 years ago, but when I left, we still had over 200 insurers in Germany.
It's working?
Yeah, it works.
Yeah. Thank you, Thomas. I think we still kind of this configuration as it stands. I thank you for your question because it gives me the opportunity to warmly congratulate the team in Germany for an outstanding year. I'd start by saying that the German team passed the 1 billion underlying earning result this year. This is quite an achievement. It's a major improvement, big growth. And very importantly is the quality of the results. We've seen good growth across all line of business. I'm very pleased to see that from a net new contracts perspective, we're gaining customers in Germany. I want to highlight two areas where I think from a new business standpoint, Germany stood out through product innovation, which are life and saving and health. We just talked about supplementary health with the previous question. I think Germany really made a difference there in proposing very, very compelling proposition for customers. And I would conclude in saying that Germany has an excellent quality of the technical result, which is driven by the use at scale of artificial intelligence. And also in everything I quoted before in terms of serving better customers, making cycle times shorter, Germany is a front runner in AXA, so big year for them and an excellent result.
And it also shows you our philosophy on talents. We always try to find successors who are better than their predecessors. I only made it until 520 million result. Nancy.
Thank you. So regarding the question in, around reinsurance, so the reinsurance market still is quite profitable. You will see the announcements from the major reinsurers. However, over the past 2 years, they've been targeting their focus on the types of risks they'll bring in, increasing their attachment points and their relationships with their carriers, and also leaving space for alternative capital to come in. From that perspective, while they're still very active in reinsuring their partners, they're very selective on where they'll take risk, and this allows us and a company like AXA, who is very strong in their underwriting, to retain more risk.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you to all of you for participating, listening, and asking questions. Thanks to the team for being here, for the great result, and for answering the questions. And so, maintenant, on va passer.
Now is the time to go upstairs to have some more time for informal discussions. And I can see that in this auditorium, you have people with more questions. You'll have the opportunity to ask each and every question. Thank you very much and have a great day.